Hey, hi everyone. Welcome to episode 350. Hooray, 350. Is everybody cool? Today has been a tense day. Everybody all right? Anybody want to talk about anything? It is September 10th. It is time to celebrate episode 350. Of Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I'm your host, Vince. Today was also the first day of the United States of America Civil War. I hope everybody's okay. It has been a kind of a bonkers and or nutty day. The day before America's birthday. Hi, everyone. How are you? It's one of those things where I knew I was going to sit down tonight and record and talk about, but I didn't want to, but it's one of those things that I couldn't get away from. Hi, welcome to the show. My name is Vince. This isn't a political show. I'm not going to talk about it too much. Shout out to the Patreon. If you'd like to see the show grow and get bigger, you want to support in any way, check out the link in the description below. You can watch these episodes get recorded live. It's episode 350. It's a long time in the making, but there's something that I'd like to show you real quick. So here we are, episode 350. First off, I want to give a shout out to the Patreon, because of the Patreon tonight. We have guests in the chat with us. Quick shout out to Willie DeWitt, who's here tonight. Thank you for being here, sir. A lot of things to talk about. Some things I want to talk about. Let's keep it light. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it going. In the interest of collectors everywhere. I know there's a lot of collectors out there for various different things. If you know me, you know that I'm a big collector of many a thing. And Fallout is one of them. If I still have it, which I don't see why I wouldn't, behind me is going to be the shot of my shelf. This is an outdated picture at this point. The shelf that I have is vastly different. But I'm going to show you some things that I don't know if everybody's aware of, and I think is neat, and more people should know about, and just honestly is super, super cool. And I want to show it off a little bit. This, I believe, came out. I wasn't totally hip to this, and I'm pretty sure this came out during the time I was away. So this is something that I really wanted to show because I found out about it recently, and I think it, like I said, came out while I was away or something. I don't know. But this is an NCR Ranger, but it says it's from Fallout 76 and not Fallout New Vegas. From McFarlane Toys, who makes some of the best collector's stuff. This is a company that makes Spawn. It's McFarlane. Oh, that's fun. It glows. It's McFarlane, so they make toys and stuff. But I wanted to show this off because I just found out about this recently. I think these are super cool. This is from the Elite line of toys, which is not something I've ever bought from, but they are more articulate. They're a little better build quality, and they also come with a ton of accessories. This being the NCR Ranger, you know, comes at its little base. Does it say New Vegas on the... It says New Vegas on the thing, but it says it's from 76. Comes with a riot shotgun, a pistol. If you collect toys, like, I know this isn't for everybody, but we get so little New Vegas stuff that I thought this was so cool. This comes with, like, 17 guns. Comes with a revolver, the shotgun, grease gun, SMG, a rifle, a repeater rifle, a sniper, and the All-American, and comes with, like, binoculars and a knife. Like, this is the kind of toy you dream of. This is, like, it's also $60. I mean, it's on sale, but, it's a pre-order. How is it on sale? It comes with all this great stuff, and this is sold out. This is gonzo. So I heard about this recently, or I heard about it again, and then I heard they're making more, and they're doing a T-60, which is cool. As much as I don't like the T-60, and as much as I think they overhype the Brotherhood stuff, this is pretty cool. If they... Please stop. This website feels like it was kind of made in 1999. This is more 76 stuff, but also T-60 power armor. This is cool that they do all of the armors. If they do all of the armors, I might buy a couple of them. I might buy, like, X-01, and I might buy T-51. I might buy 45, just because that's the Fallout 3 armor. But, again, great articulation on these toys. I heard they're a little stiff, which, whatever. But, you know, you take a blow dryer to it and it loosens right up. You know, more shots from the side. Oh, he comes with a... Oh, what is that even? Is that a grenade launcher? That's fun. That's some sort of gun that isn't a minigun that I thought it was. Big Browning. A sword thing? I don't know what this sword is. This ski-o-matic? Oh, it's a ski. Oh, it's from... Because it's from 76. It's something that I don't know. Comes with an alien blaster. The pistol from the show. A plasma pistol. A laser pistol. You know... Again, just a ton of accessories. It is a 76 thing. And then the box that comes in is even cool. I love boxes. I don't keep my toys in boxes. I'm not one of those guys. If you have a toy, I think it should come out of I have like 4 toys that I just bought that have to come out of boxes, but I'm about to move, so I'm not doing it. And then finally, the one that I think I'm going to wind up getting is Lucy from the show. And she comes with the dog. Hello. Hello, little dog man. CX-404. That's an accessory because she only has a gun, but she has 2 faces. She has a stern face and a happy face, and I think that's very fun. Ella Parnell is not someone who I think translates very good to toy, but I thought this is a very fun thing. Like, especially, as far as I know, outside of, like, the backpack that is an accessory for this, outside of the backpack, this is one of the only, and, you know, t-shirts and whatever, is one of the only Vault 33 or Fallout show pieces of merch that I've seen. It's one of the few Fallout action figures. She even comes with the phony finger. That's so good. That's so good. How many hands does she come with? Oh, wow. She comes with one without a finger, and then she comes with one with a replacement finger. And she has a pistol. Oh, I guess she does use a pistol quickly. I do really like those TV show pistols. Those are very good.
I like the dog. He's fun.
It's fun that you get, like, a dog meat. We don't have very much Fallout toys. One of the only action figures that I actually have is the Lone Wanderer from 3, and that's a Funko, and I've never taken it out of the box. One of the few toys I've never taken out of the box, because I just wanted it. So these are cool. These are just things I wanted to show off, because this is something that I enjoy collecting, so I know there has to be at least somebody out there who also enjoys this. You know, 7-inch figure, you probably could find a 9-inch ball jar somewhere. It's something really cool. It also just has a very blank base that I really like, just that says Fallout. It doesn't say, like, Fallout the show, Fallout on Prime. It just is. This is an overarching version of a thing from a thing that we all know and love and appreciate. I don't know what face I'd put on mine, because mine's coming out of the box. Oh, look, here's all of them. This one's fun. I like this one a lot. I kind of like Angry Lucy, too. Let's see her box. Fun. Her and Maximus. What's the back looking like? Just her. Yeah, I think I might get this one. I just thought it'd be cool to show these off. So those are just things that I didn't know existed till recently, and I wanted to show them off because I'm putting them on my shelf. Willie DeWitt in chat asks, what do I think about people printing and painting their own toys? That's cool. I think it kind of defeats the purpose if it's something like Warhammer. If you're playing Warhammer and you're printing your own figures, I'm never going to tell you that you can't play. I don't play Warhammer, but if I did, I'd never be like, you can't play with us. You're using non-sanctioned. You're using non-sanctioned toys. Yeah, you did buy these model kits at a store at an authorized retailer. I'm never going to be like that. If that's what you want, like if you have the access to that, go ahead and do it. It's fun. If I had the ability to print off anything I wanted, I'd have every bat cowl. Go have fun. Go have fun and paint it. Do what you got to do. Anyway, I just thought that'd be fun to show off and talk about. I want to talk about this week's lore. Before I can talk about this week's lore, I have to talk to you about the Patreon. I brought it up briefly in the beginning, but because of the Patreon, the show continues to get bigger and better every single week. If you like the show, if you want to see these episodes recorded live in front of a studio audience, check it out. Check out the Patreon. There's a link in the description below. I gotta thank some people. So starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. After Danish Hound Dog, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you to Brotherhood Outcast. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Willie DeWitt, who is here tonight. Shout out to you, sir, for being here. If you like the show, link in the description. I'd appreciate it. Or just share it with a friend. But other than that,
let's get into this week's lore.
So usually what I do is every week I'll go to the Patreon and I'll ask them what they want to hear, right? And this is episode 350. 350 of these friggin' things. I wanted to do something big. And I didn't know what exactly to do. I have a big one planned for the next milestone we hit. Whether it's the next milestone we hit or it's the next year anniversary, what will be 8 years of Atomic Radio Hour. That being said, some things have to be taken care of before we can get there. But I wanted to do something fun. I wanted to do something that essentially is a fan favorite. So I went to the Patreon and I asked a question. And that's how we usually do this. It's a poll. And I said, for the big one, let's talk about one of two big names. Would you rather hear about Sarah Lyons or Rex the Cyberhound, Rex the dog? So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, please check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, where even as low as a dollar a month, your voice is heard when the poll comes around and you, yes you, get to choose what you want this week's lore to be. And this week's lore, for the special episode 350, I bring to you, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, the lore on Rex the dog from Fallout New Vegas. Rex is a long-standing tradition in the Fallout games. Fallout 1, you have dog meat. Fallout 2, you have the same dog from Fallout 1 in a weird, convoluted way. Fallout 3, you have dog meat. New Vegas, you have Rex. And Fallout 4, you have dog meat. And I'm pretty sure at this point in 76, you can have a dog with you. Rex is a continuation of something that I love, the fiction of being in an apocalyptic wasteland and the only thing that is with you, the only thing that you have by your side, the only person, the only living being is a dog. I'm not a dog person by any stretch of the imagination, but I love this trope. I love this trope of dogs being companions, being the only real friend that you have. I don't know why, I've always enjoyed it, even though I don't really like dogs all that much. It's always been something I've enjoyed. Rex has an incredible backstory. Did you know that Rex is 209 years old? Rex is a Mark III Cyberhound Leo, or Law Enforcement Officer, support model, serial number B955883. Rex the Cyberdog, a pre-war cyber dog. He's 209 years old, meaning he was born in the year 2079. And I get that information from the PlayStation blog Meet the Companions. Now, I wasn't exactly sure what this is. And I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will. I love these games. I've played these games. But every now and again, I go back and I need to just double check to make sure I know what I'm talking about. And this is an outside source that the wiki doesn't classify as canon. I would go so far to say that this is canon because it was published by Bethesda Softworks. It is the author of Jason Bergman. He apparently has said this, and there's a bunch of things here. Like it says that Lily Bowen is here. She's a super mutant, ethnicity, African. She's 203 years old. Raul, he's a male. It says his ethnicity is Mezitso, which I don't know. He's 230 years old, you know. Veronica, 27. Her full name, Veronica Renata Santagello. Eddie's full name is Ibot Dirtaframe Subject E. He's 6 years old. Rex. And it says right here that Rex is 209 years old and the sidekick to the king and what his perk is. But it doesn't elaborate on why he's 209. So, you know, obviously, I knew Rex was old. I didn't know how old, and I learned from this. He's 209 years old. So Rex is a dog, right? He's a dog. His breed is German Shepherd, and he's also a cyberhound, right? Now, Rex being a cyberhound, cyberhounds are actually way more common than you'd think pre-bombs falling in the 2270s. It was a program that was developed by the U.S. government with the Enclave, that they were making dogs for military purposes because they would just become soldiers that they didn't have to really care about as much as humans, which they barely cared about, but it's a dog, you know, we can kind of throw it around. It can get into certain places and they can mistreat the dogs better and they're more easily replaceable than human lives. The U.S. government mixed with the Enclave and the scientists at Big MT, Big Mountain, had come together and made these cyber dogs. They have their brains in jars, a lot like the way robo brains have their brains in jars. It's kind of the same idea, the same concept. And eventually some of the more affluent cities in the country were given this same program to take these military dogs and turn them into police dogs. And that's what Rex is. Rex is a former police dog. He's a German shepherd. He's a former cop. They were given the, and this is taken directly from the wiki. They were given these dogs to sniff out communists. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing it, but it said something like, most dogs didn't understand what communists were. So that's the tax dollars of these people at work. He's a pre-war dog who comes all the way from Denver, Colorado, my backyard. And this is something really cool, for me at least, because I live here. I live in Colorado, so I think it's awesome when there's like a real-life allegory that I can really hook into and be like, oh my God, this is where thing happened. Because I have a feeling in the show, and I can't prove it, but I have a feeling the show is eventually going to come to Colorado. The Legion takes over Colorado and Denver, more specifically, anywhere between 2277 and 2281, sometime after the First Battle of Hoover Dam, but before, obviously, the Second Battle of Hoover Dam. And Denver is referred to as Dogtown because it's overrun by dogs. There's a tribe that Kaisar had conquered called the Hangdogs, and they were people that were around dogs forever. They were always around dogs, and eventually they grew up with them and kind of saw them as their spirit animal and became one with the dogs. They trained with the dogs. They raised themselves with the dogs, and they became, they used them as tools. They used them as companionship, and Kaisar has a fellow by the name of Antony who is the Houndmaster in Cottonwood Cove that you can go find, you can speak to. When you go find Antony and you begin a conversation with him, fucking start that one over again. When you find Antony and you start a conversation with him, the courier can ask, tell me about yourself. And he'll say, I've been around dogs my whole life, always were, all the way back when I was a tribal, one of the Hangdogs outside of Denver. Dogs roamed that city. Our tribe made peace with them, thought that they were our spirit animals, helped us hunt, provided for us in some lean times. Then the Legion came. Good thing, too. Stronger now. Don't need those beliefs anymore. When you ask him about where Kaisar's Legion gets the dogs, he says, we breed them, mostly. Sometimes we get the good ones from Denver. That whole city is overrun with them. So, Rex is believed to be one of the dogs in Caesar's Legion. It's believed that at some point in time when the Legion was taking over Denver, that Rex might have been there, more than likely was there, was even maybe part of the Legion for a small period of time. Antony, again, the Houndsmaster, will ask you, that mechanical dog you have with you, where did you get it? And the courier goes, Rex? I picked him up in New Vegas. And he'll reply with, oh, such things are common in Denver, but I didn't know the other cities had them as well. Why do you want to know? The courier will say. I asked because Kaisar once had a similar pet, but he was lost in a battle. So now, you know, Rex has lived a storied life. He was there in 2272, becoming a cyber cop, a robo cop dog, and now he survives the bombs. He survives hundreds of years of just trying to fend for himself. The Hangdogs show up and they become one with this tribe. And then the tribe gets taken over by Caesar and Caesar starts using them for his own gain. And eventually, if that's to be believed that it happened all within that time, Rex just kind of gets loose and heads over to Nevada and hits Freeside and becomes buddies with the king. And for those who don't know, in Latin, Rex is king. Rex means king in Latin. So the king walks around with his dog, King. Now, because this is a Fallout game and this is a dog, you can eventually get the dog as your companion, but you have to get him away from the king. And there's a quest that you can do. It's called GI Blues. And there's a couple rewards you can get at the end of it. You can get free strip entry. You can join the kings. You can get 1,000 caps, which I think is the worst one. Or depending on if you've done the King's Gambit quest, you can end the violence with the NCR and the king. Once you've done that, you'll start another quest called Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, which is another reference to an Elvis song because you're dealing with the king about Rex. And in this quest, the king will give you Rex, and he'll say, I need you to take care of my boy Rexy here. And he kind of gives you a rundown of who Rex is And I love the way he says it. So I'm going to read this for you exactly. I'm sorry that I'm about to do the worst Elvis Presley impression you've ever heard.
I can't thank you enough. Now, there's a few things you should know about old Rex here if you're going to be traveling together. First, he hates rats. Can't stand the things. Giant rats, mole rats, doesn't matter. He catches a whiff of one of them, and he's off like a shot after him. He's normally pretty obedient, but you might have to chase him some if he goes after one of those little varmints. Second, he doesn't like hats or people wearing them. Don't ask. I have no idea why. Maybe because it rhymes with rats. That should be it, though. Other than the occasional bad spot when his brain starts hurting him, that's it. But I'm hoping you'll see to that. I wish you both luck. Take care of my Rex now, you hear?
I don't know what it is, man. I love the idea of just a guy and his dog hanging out. I don't know what it is. In a world so cold, a little piece of humanity just hangs on, and here's the silliest fella you ever saw in your entire life, just with a dog. So Rex is having a problem with his brain, and he gives him to you, and he says, hey man, for ain't nothing but a hound dog. He goes, look, if you can, take him to the old Mormon fort, see if any of the doctors there, maybe Julie Farkas can fix him up. And you take him there, and they tell you that there's not much they can do. Truly, there's not much they can do about Rex's brain problem. Now, this one is a tad bit paraphrased, but the courier can talk to Julie Farkas and go, the king said you could tell me more about his robotic dog. Julie will say, Rex, it breaks my heart every time I see him. He's such a good dog. So you can't heal him? And she'll reply with, no, Rex's condition is way beyond anything we can handle. He requires brain surgery and some sophisticated cybernetics work, too. The courier will go, so there's no chance he'll ever get better. I didn't say that, says Julie Farkas. While no one here has that kind of experience, I do know of a man who might fit the bill. There's an old scientist named Doc Henry who reportedly specializes in this sort of procedure. He'd probably be your best bet. Last I heard, he was living up in Jacobstown, far to the northwest. I want to point out real quick, this is a like middle of the game type quest, and I really like how it's like, hey, if you haven't been to Old Mormon Fort, go now. And if you haven't been to Jacobstown, go now. This is the time to do this. Like, there's several reasons why you're going to want to be up there, because there's a bunch of cool stuff to do up there. There's like four quests, five. Go up there right now. Like, do this. If you bring him to Doc Henry, the Enclave Doctor, spoiler, you can go in there and say, something's wrong with my cyber dog. I was told to come bring him to you. He'll take a look at, Doc Henry will take a look at Rex and go, it's neural degradation. Biomedgel can only preserve a living brain for so long, so you'll need to find a replacement. I haven't left Jacobstown in years, but there was this one woman in Novak, Gibson. I remember her living with a pack of hounds. Aside from her, I know the Fiends and Caesar's Legion fight alongside dogs. There could be viable specimens among them, if you can get to them. So, you're given the option. It's one of three brains that you can put in this dog, and you can replace his brains. There's old lady Gibson who has a scrapyard right outside of Novak. If you give her 700 caps, she'll euthanize her dog and then give the brain, for 700 caps, give the brain to you for Rex, or if you have a 70 barter check, you can just persuade her into giving you the brain. There's also the Fiends that you can get Violetta from Violet, which you can also help in the side quest of the three-card bounty for Major Daugherty in Kent McCarran. It's kind of like a two-part thing. You can do one and the other at the same time. And the Legion has Lupa, who you can get from Antony. All Antony asks is that you give her an honorable death and fight her, and then you can take her brain. Ray's brain that you get from Old Lady Gibson gives a 25% bonus, 25-point bonus to damage. If you get Violetta's brain, it's a 50% to movement speed, and using Lupa's brain gives a plus 10 to the durability, to the damage threshold. And that's pretty much all we know about Rex. I have a feeling we might see there. I'm almost guaranteeing we're going to see him in the show. I just have a feeling there's going to be a point where CX-404 and Rex see each other, and they're going to like sniff each other's tails and spin around. It's they have to put something in for guys who are watching it with their girlfriends. So they go, oh, the puppy's here. Come on. Some of the fun endings that I want to talk about real quick. I'm not going to read them all. The first one, if Rex dies at the slide, is he had survived police service in Colorado, the Great War combat duty with the Legion, and being the companion of the king. But in the end, Rex finally succumbed to the horrors of the Wasteland. If you do not complete his personal quest, Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, you'll get the slide of, having never received a replacement brain, Rex finally succumbed to his old age, abruptly shutting down forever one quiet morning after 2 centuries of life and decades of service to humanity. Rex collapses and he dies. And for the brains, revitalized by Violetta's brain, Rex eventually learned to balance the memories of his old life with Violetta's experiences among the brutal fiends. His mind had difficulty adjusting, but Rex eventually found peace with his new, more vicious self. With Lupa's brain, with the transplant of Lupa's brain, Rex gained all of the donor's experience traveling with the Legion. These melded well with his own memories of the Legion, and his new mind quickly adjusted to the Maillard memories. And if you give him Ray's brain, after Ray's brain was transplanted into Rex's cybernetic body, it took Rex some time to adjust to the old scrapyard dog's memory. Eventually, Rex's mind settled peacefully, melding with his own memories with that of the long travels with old Lady Gibson. There's a couple of slides for Old World Blues. I'm not going to get super into them, but there's like a thing if Rex runs into Roxy. There, she ran across Rex at the King's School of Impersonation. His brain was failing. That was all right. He was still smarter than the think tank. The two of them constructed a litter of cyber pups, a small army of Boston Terriers that gnawed and devoured anything in its path. This is my, like, number one complaint with Old World Blues. Why does it have to be so silly? But the thing that's so silly about it that I think is actually genius is the voiceover for it is just barking. It's just barking because it's the dog speaking. It's so funny to me. Just some fun facts and some notes. If Rex dies and you go back to the king actually kind of eulogizes him a little bit. Rex will actually bark if you're wearing a hat when you first meet him. And if you or other companions have hats on, he will bark, which is wild because it's usually me and Boone and then either dog or dog meat or Rex or Eddie. If you have the animal friend perk, he doesn't attack any of the rats or the moles, mole rats, and he won't attack Snuffles and Sloane. If you have Rex and you try to recruit Arcade Ganon, Ganon will go, a courier, a doctor, and a cybernetic dog. Maybe when this is all over, we can open up an act at the Tops. He just barks at people if they're wearing hats. I love it. Rex is the 5 of spades in the vault playing cards from the collector's edition of the game. Rex is a real, real brilliant character. It's a twist on classic Fallout stuff. It's also the trope of a boy and his dog, you traveling through the wasteland. And it's also just a fun story. It's also just a time to be had. It's also just a part of being in New Vegas. Rex is one of the things that I think, one of the people, one of the experiences that I have is one of the things I think about immediately when I think of New Vegas, just because of how wacky ass it is and how it's so true to its core and not at the same time. And I hope you've enjoyed that because that has been this week's lore. Hey gang. Real quick, I'm not gonna lie to you, this isn't gonna be a long segment 3. I just wanna say thank you. I wanna say thank you for 350 episodes. I've been doing this a long time. I love doing this. There might be some changes in the future with like the day these get recorded, which it doesn't affect most people. They'll still come out either Saturday, Sunday. I prefer them coming out on a Saturday, whatever. 350 is a lot. I've done this a lot, and I'm constantly trying to think of new ways to make it bigger and better and move things around and try things. And I have something planned for November. I've been talking about it. I haven't really made it a secret. I'm not going to talk about it directly. But I have something planned for November that I think will be fun. It's not a traditional episode. It kind of is, and it kind of isn't. It's something different, and I really want to try it. And the fact that anybody watches the show, let alone the fact that I have people that'll show up in the Discord for a live recording once a week, means a whole hell of a lot to me. This show was started, I feel like I do a speech like this every 50 episodes, but truly it means a lot to me. I started the show with my friend in their bedroom. And I remember early on, I don't like talking about stuff like this, but because it's 350, I feel like I should. I remember early on we were talking to somebody who became a guest. It was White Collar, who was on the show a couple times. And we had reached out to him and, well, we reached out to Mrs. E. And Mrs. E had said that they were very close at the time. I don't know if they still are. They could be. I don't want to talk for, you know, I don't want to tell stories at a school. And she was like, can he come on with me? He's a good friend of mine. We're like, yeah, sure. He makes mods. Bring him in. Great. Fantastic. And there was a point where he was like, oh, I just heard about you guys from another modding group. And like that, I remember blew us away. We're like, what? We were a couple of episodes in and someone was talking about us. You know, like, I don't want to sit here and stroke my own shit, but like, it means a lot to me that people listen. It means a lot to me that people follow. It means a lot to me that people give a damn. I have always operated in a space that was just about my love for something. It's always been a passion project. It's always been a project from the heart. It's always been made with love. I always want to do the whole like PBS thing. In America, we had the Public Broadcasting Service, which doesn't exist anymore, where Sesame Street was. And at the end of it, we had made allusions to it early on with the Patreon of like, brought to you by these things and viewers like you, thank you. Like it's really done as a labor of love. I taught myself how to, and I've said this before a billion times, taught myself how to edit. I've always been one to be in front of people. I've never had a problem entertaining. It's just exciting to be able to do this every week, to have a creative outlet that happens every single week. And you guys have been here for it. Whether this is your first episode or your 350th episode, I really, really just want to thank you. I want to tell you how much it means to me. This show has been produced in like 5 or 6 different places over 3 different states. 7 years of doing it. And it just continues. And I will continue to keep going. And I will continue to try new things. And I need to get a stand for this effing green screen. It's starting to bother the piss out of me. So I might go, you know, it's things like that that I can continuously try. And now that I have this computer, I want to give streaming a shot again. What I'm saying is thank you. Like genuinely thank you. I feel like I can never be appreciative enough. That was a thing that my great grandmother always did. She was always saying thank you and she was always saying sorry. And I don't know why. And I think part of me attributed it to because she grew up during the American Great Depression, but I really don't know. It's just a trait that I inherited from her that until the day she died, she said sorry and thank you for everything. So I'd like to say I'm sorry and that I thank you. If you've enjoyed the show, consider checking out the Patreon, link in the description below. The music that should be playing right now is the intro and the outro music. It's called Feather Duster by the one and only Shane Ivers. He has a bunch of free music on his website, silvermansounds.com/freemusic, but the one I use is called Feather Duster, like I said. Check out my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, the show's Twitter. I hope you guys are living well. I hope you guys stick around for another 350 episodes, and I hope I see you next week. I love you very much. Be good to one another, and I'll see you real soon. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.